be dismissed at this time to junior church. For those of us who are here, I encourage you to take your Bibles, and I hope you do have a Bible handy, because we're going to look at a number of passages together this morning as we think about glorifying God through thankfulness. But if you have your Bibles, turn back to Psalms. We'll be in Psalm 92. We'll just read a couple verses from there as we begin this morning. In your bulletin, there's a handout, so you can see as we go through, there will be a little chart that we'll look at in the beginning here, that's some intro, as you think of what thankfulness is and what thankfulness isn't. But in Psalm 92, I'm just going to read the first two verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Whenever the Bible says that something is good, we need to pay attention. Remember back when God created the heavens and the earth, He looked at each day and He said it was very what? Good. It was very good. In this passage, when God calls something good, in every passage, when God calls it good, it means pay attention. Because He wants you to recognize either His goodness or to recognize that this action, this activity that He's calling you to do is a very good thing. So in verse 1 of Psalm 92, it says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night." Goes on to talk about we can praise and thank God through music. We can thank Him for many, many reasons. And I'd encourage you to read through Psalm 92 sometime if you haven't recently. It's a beautiful psalm that reminds us of how great the works of God truly are. And our response should be, and our only good response can be, thankfulness and praise and worship. This morning, our big idea is very simple, and yet it can be very difficult to live out in an unthankful culture, in an unthankful world. But the big idea, the call for us this morning, is to live thankfully for God's glory. To live thankfully for the glory of God. Let's start with a word of prayer. Let's pray that God would help us in His Word see what it means to be thankful and what that should look like in our lives. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. Father, we say it so quickly, thank You. We thank You for this. We thank You for our food. We thank You for many things. But Father, I pray that the idea, the reality of thanksgiving and thankfulness to You would not just be something that rolls off our lips without us thinking about what we're saying. Father, we have so many reasons to give You thanks, to praise You for Your faithfulness, for Your steadfast love in the morning, Your faithfulness by night, Your character, Your attributes. We thank You most of all for Jesus Christ. I pray this morning, as we come to these passages of Scripture, as we look at these truths about living thankfully for Your glory, Lord, I pray that You will work in our hearts a thankful spirit. Father, we have not all been thankful this past week, and there have been circumstances for many of us that have made it very difficult to even consider thankfulness. So, Father, may we, as we look in Your Word, would Your Spirit encourage our hearts, encourage us to live thankfully for Your glory, to realize that we have so much to thank You for. Father, I pray for anyone here this morning who has had a very difficult week. We think of those in our own congregation who have dealt with various physical injuries or health situations or relationship concerns. We all live in a dysfunctional world that is full of sin. Father, in the middle of this darkness that surrounds us, may the light of Christ shine clearly through us and may it be seen most clearly in our thankfulness to You. So we pray that You will help us through Your grace, through Your Word, and through Your Spirit this morning to apply correctly what Your Word has for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. It says it is good. The psalmist says it is good. It is a good thing. It is praiseworthy. It was right. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. It's important before we jump into, we're going to look at five different sections. We're actually looking at a number of scriptures this morning. So in a moment, we'll be going quickly through God's Word together. But it's important that we understand what biblical thankfulness is and not. Many people, when they look at what God's Word says, give thanks in all circumstances. Dave Horner yesterday put that that those words on our sign or a couple days ago, put the words, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We read that, and many times we may ask the question, but how? Is it even theoretically possible to give thanks in all circumstances? Well, according to God's word, not only is it, but it's commanded. So it's important then that we understand what thankfulness is and what thankfulness is not. In your handout there, there's a chart, and I just put on one column what thankfulness is not, and we could probably add additional things, but also what thankfulness is, and we could probably also add additional things. But really quickly, I want to look at that left column and just remind us what biblical thankfulness is not. First of all, biblical thankfulness is not happiness. Two different things. Happiness is circumstantial. There are many times in life where situations come into our life that are not happy times. And it would be inappropriate for us to even be happy at those times. And yet, in the middle of that sorrow and that sadness, thankfulness still can reign supreme in our hearts. Though it is very difficult, we can still be thankful in the unhappy times of life. If a Christian goes through life thinking that thankfulness is happiness, they're going to be very disappointed and frustrated. And maybe you've met some Christians who have bought into that false teaching called the prosperity gospel, where God just wants you to be happy. And so if you will just surrender your life to God, if you'll put enough money in the offering plate, if you'll join a church, God will bless you beyond your richest imaginations when it comes to your physical well-being or your physical property. That's a lie. I don't mean to rock the boat for us this morning, but God never at all says in His Word, my ultimate goal for you as my church is to be happy. But He does say, my ultimate goal for you is that you would glorify me. I call you to be thankful. A friend of mine put on, he's a pastor out in California. He was the best man at my wedding, and he was ahead of me a couple years in school, and he ended up teaching Greek grammar after Bible college, after his undergrad, and then he opened the door for me to get to do that. We kind of followed each other's steps for a little bit. And we did a summer internship together anyway. He posted yesterday that he was doing some work, and he accidentally had an accident. I shouldn't say accidentally had an accident. Is that a double? He cut himself with his chainsaw. Wasn't a bad cut, but he nicked himself on the inside of his knee. And he put on there, I dick myself, I'm on crutches for a little bit, but I'm thankful that I didn't cut any arteries or any bad parts in my leg. He was thankful. Let me tell you something, there's nothing happy about being on the receiving end of a chainsaw. Happiness is not thankfulness, but thankfulness is superior to even happiness. A tree may land on our house or our car, but no one got hurt or killed. We're thankful. Not happy, though, with that tree in our car, are we? Thankfulness is not, biblical thankfulness, is not also just a blind optimism. We've met that person where the glass is always half full, right? The glass is half empty. And it's not wrong to be optimistic. In fact, there is an optimism to thankfulness, biblical thankfulness, but it is a realistic optimism. It is not a blind optimism. It's like the meteorologist who, there's weeks and weeks of snow, but he'll just say, but spring's around the corner. Yeah, but the reality is we got winter. Maybe you like snow, so that's a good thing. But I remember one baseball game. I played baseball up through T-ball through high school, and there was one game, one year, we were just had a bad team in high school one year, and it was just not good. And there was one game, and it was a doubleheader. We had a bunch of rain or cancellations, so we actually played the same team twice, which we didn't do very often. But we got to play under the lights, so that was kind of cool, and it was going late at night and all this kind of stuff. The first game, though, was just terrible. And it was like a football score. You ever been to a baseball game where it looks like you're at a football game? Or you go to a soccer game and it looks like you're at a, 20? The score, well, I don't want to say the score. The score was 19 to nothing. And we hadn't even gotten out of the third inning yet. There's a mercy rule. And you had to play four innings, though. You had to play at least four innings. We were just playing, can we just get this game over with? We were down 19 to nothing. And I remember our coach coming in, trying to be optimistic. And we were sitting on the, you know, our team was out in the field. Our pitcher was struggling. All our pitchers were struggling. We were trying to save some players for the next game. So I was sitting there. A couple other guys were sitting there. And our coach comes and says, guys, come on. Come on. We can do this. We got this. We only got, you know, I don't care if it gets. And it was just, it was the perfect scenario. The coach is standing here. The scoreboard's behind him, okay? Imagine that. We're all just sitting there kind of like, just, yes, coach, we understand. But we're not coming back from this. And he says, I don't care if the score gets to 20-0. And instantly, ping. And you see the scoreboard go 20, and we just started laughing. And the coach, you know what, guys? Let's just end this game. Can we just get an out so we can get back on the field? Sometimes optimism is helpful, but sometimes blind optimism is not helpful. A dying hope versus a living hope. Biblical thankfulness is not deism. Maybe you've heard of this false view of reality that says, well, God is not really in control. God is not reigning. And so whatever happens, we just should accept it. But, you know, it just happens because God, yeah, he started things, but he kind of just spun this world on its own. And what happens, happens. And it even leads to a fatalistic view of reality. What's going to happen is going to happen. So you might as well just be happy about it. Let's, you know, do something. That's not biblical thankfulness. This world is out of control, but it's not because God is not in control. There is a truth to deism, but it's not because God is not in control. It's because of sin. A couple more really quickly. Biblical thankfulness is not based on our understanding. Thankfulness was just based on we understand how everything's happening, and that's why we're thankful. We're going to come to some roadblocks really quick because there's going to be circumstances in our life that don't make sense, that we can't understand why, or why right now, or how this fits perfectly into God's planning. But if that is what we think thankfulness is just happens when I understand what's going on, then we're happy when life makes sense. But when it stops making sense, then dissatisfaction can set quickly in. Biblical thankfulness is not focused on the immediate. It's not self-focused or self-serving. It's not a brief fruit of self-motivation. Just believe in yourself and you'll have a good day. Just pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and you can be thankful. No. Biblical thankfulness is much better than that. What is it? First of all, biblical thankfulness is joy. It is a joy that is based not on circumstances, but is based on God's character. Thankfulness feeds off of a joy, a belief that God is always good. Biblical joy and biblical thankfulness shreds that false gospel known as the prosperity gospel. It gives joy in the midst of sorrow and incredibly unhappy seasons of life. Some of us have been going through those. Or some of us are going through a time in the year which reminds us of sadness in the past or difficulty in the past, and yet we can have a joy because our thankfulness to God is not based upon our circumstances. I thank God that he gives us that kind of thankfulness. Thankfulness is optimism, but it's realistic optimism because we have a living hope. It's not based on, well, I hope this might happen or the glass is half full. No, we are in God's family. He is in control. He's reigning. We can go through life with a realistic perspective on circumstances because God is sovereign and he's in control and he's always good and he always wins and he's making all things new. There is an optimism to the Christian life, but it's realistic. It's not that this world is going to get better, but it's that God is going to make all things new one day. Biblical thankfulness, instead of being deistic, that God doesn't reign, no, the opposite of that. Biblical thankfulness, as we've used this term in this year, is doxological. It gives glory to God. It gives glory to a God because he is reigning. So every success, every difficulty, every circumstance has a divine purpose of bringing glory to God. And we can be thankful because God has a plan and he's reigning and he's guiding us to heaven. Biblical thankfulness is not based on understanding. It's based on God's promises and faith in God's promises. God has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will always provide your needs, not your wants, but our needs. God will always meet every care and concern that we have so we can be thankful even when life isn't making sense to us. Biblical thankfulness is focused on the eternal. It is God-focused, God-serving, and biblical thankfulness is an abiding fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's not something based upon our own power which can fade away. So this morning, it's important we understand what thankfulness is. And as we look in God's Word, we're going to look at a number of passages briefly here. We're going to look at five truths briefly together. Five truths that Christians affirm when they live thankfully for God's glory. When you make the decision and you obey God and you live thankfully for His glory, there's at least five truths that you are affirming as a Christian. Maybe this morning you're struggling with an unthankful spirit because of a situation, or maybe you're struggling with just wondering, how could I be thankful? Let's run to these five truths in God's Word this morning and remember that when we show thankfulness to God, He gets the glory. First of all, if you're in Psalm 92, verse 1 and 2, we see, first of all, that when Christians live thankfully for God's glory, they affirm that God is always worthy of praise for His work in our lives. It says here in verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Well, how do I give thanks to Him? Here's how the psalmist says you give thanks. Here's one way you can give thanks, by singing praises to His name. He is the Most High God, so we sing praise to Him. We declare as we sing His steadfast love in the morning and His faithfulness by night. He never stops loving. He never stops being faithful. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll go over to the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, we were in Ephesians much this summer, and so we won't spend a great deal of time here because it's probably review, but Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, there's a number of things that are going to happen. Verse 19, you will address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's that singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must understand that giving thanks is primarily, ultimately, not about us, but it's about giving God His due glory. And many times, I struggle, to live thankfully because I don't want to give God the glory. I want the glory for myself. I want to delve in this frustration that I'm facing and feeling, and I don't want to submit and realize, God, You're in control. And Samuel, You're responding incorrectly. As I said in Sunday school this morning, I wish I could say this week that I went through this past week with a perfectly thankful heart and I never had unthankfulness, but that's not true. We all struggle with thankfulness because at its core, thankfulness to God means that He gets the glory and not us. He gets the glory in the situation even though it doesn't fit my timetable or the way I would like. Giving thanks is ultimately not about us, but it is all about God and His glory. Now, as we give thanks, God blesses us and we do rejoice and it strengthens our love for Him, but it ultimately we don't give thanks for us. We give thanks to God to praise Him and to glorify Him. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. This is a very similar or parallel passage with Ephesians 5. But Colossians 3, verse 15. An unthankful spirit, which we don't want to have, an unthankful spirit nurtures within our hearts a dissatisfaction towards God's best. And so God says in Colossians 3, 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And if that's not enough, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Why? Over and over and over in the Psalms, in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, there has been a consistent theme that is carried through all the way from the garden, all the way to Revelation. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks to the Lord. And on this side of the cross, you can give thanks to Him through Jesus Christ. Before, you could not because you were enemies of God. You didn't even have a desire to give thanks to God. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But after you come to Christ, thankfulness should just come naturally out of us, but it won't because of our sin. So we need the Holy Spirit to guide us. One reason I believe that the Scriptures over and over remind us to be thankful is because an unthankful spirit nurtures within our hearts a dissatisfaction towards God's best. Think of Adam and Eve in the garden where it all started. What did Satan do to cause them to be open to sin? He got them dissatisfied with God's best. He got them to doubt God's goodness. He got them to wish that they would get the glory as God instead of God himself. And it was very subtle, but at the very core of the first sin that came into this world was unthankfulness. God's best for you is not good enough. You need to call the shots. And an unthankful spirit nurtures a dissatisfaction towards God's best, and it takes this beautiful gift that God has given us of life and the creation that God gave Adam and Eve. He gave them a perfect relationship with him, but that became unsatisfactory toward them because thankfulness came out of their heart. God is always worthy of praise for his work in our lives. And thankfulness, when we live thankfully for God's glory, we affirm, we speak forth that truth that God is worthy of all praise because of his mighty works in our lives. But secondly, a second truth, if you would, turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We've just read or recited this a moment ago, but 1 Thessalonians 5:18, a second truth that Christians affirm when they live thankfully for the glory of God is this: we are not in control, and we are most definitely not God. It's a second truth we affirm when we are thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Paul had just said in Colossians 3, in everything, give thanks. For this, Paul goes on in 1 Thessalonians 5, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When we give thanks and we live thankfully for God, we are affirming the fact that God reigns, that God is king, and we are not. And so he gets to call the shots, and we thank him for his perfect plan. We don't thank him because we fully understand everything, but we thank him because he fully understands everything. When we live thankfully for God, we are affirming and rejoicing in this truth that we are not in control, but God is in control because he's God. It's important that we understand, letter A, that God reigns, and he commands his church to pursue multifaceted thankfulness. Notice he says, give thanks in all circumstances. A couple summers ago, we got to go and look at some lighthouses. It was this summer. Man, summer seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? We got to go down to Florida, and we saw a lighthouse there. We got to climb up this very tall lighthouse, and when we got down, they had a little section you could look where they had a room full of lenses that the lighthouses had from years past. And they showed how technology improved, and some of the earlier lenses that the lighthouse would have, it could shine in four areas. And there would be a part where, as it's turning, the light would come, but there would be a temporary time where you wouldn't see the light. But it would come, but it was north, south, east, west. But then as technology advanced, they learned how to make glass and more circular glass and with different bevels and different facets. So now that light could be seen all the time, even though it's spun. God is calling us to show a thankfulness that is multifaceted and that we can be thankful no matter what circumstance comes. So whether we get the good health report from the doctor, we're thankful to God for that. When we get the not as expected report from the doctor, we can be thankful as well. What causes us to be able to live that way? We can't work that up. That is a thankfulness that is grounded in the character of our great God and realizing we are not in control, but he is, and he's good because he's God. We realize it is good to give thanks to the Lord even in all circumstances. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to some very familiar passages of Scripture. Sometimes some of the hardest ones to live out, but they are still true nonetheless. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. The call here is not to be concerned. There are areas in life where we need to be concerned, but the picture here is of someone having a situation or us having a situation where the concern has turned to anxiety and it has turned to worry, and we are now in sinning by not taking this to the Lord. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And when we do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We will face anxious times. Some of us are facing those right now. When we face anxious times, we as Christians run thankfully to the true God, and He gives us His peace. Isn't it amazing that a Christian can have a situation come into their life that is totally confusing, and yet God gives them peace to weather that storm? Maybe you're experiencing that peace right now. Isn't it amazing when you say, I don't know how the situation is going to work out? I see the timetable, or I see the financial need, or I see the health situation. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I can't explain it. But God has given, I can't explain it. It's God, but He's given me a peace that doesn't make sense to anybody, but it's real. I'm thankful. I'm thankful in the middle of this trial. What causes that? It is a truth that we are not God, that He is in control, and we are thankful to be His. I pray that we will be able to respond with a thankful heart in all circumstances. And when we struggle, we run to God. We run to the cross. We look back to what God has done through us in Jesus Christ, and we say, that's who my God is, and He will never, ever turn His back on me. He is the great God, the good God. He is in control, and I will give thanks to Him. When we live thankfully for the glory of God, we say, number one, with our actions that God is worthy of all praise for His work in our lives. But secondly, we say that we are not in control, and God is in control. Thirdly, turn, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 1. There was a time in our lives before we came to Christ where thankfulness to God would have been impossible. We may have thought we were thankful with a worldly sense of thankfulness, but we would not in our sin be able to give thanks to God. And so a third truth that Christians affirm, that we affirm as Christians when we live thankfully for the glory of God, is this. Number three, God has removed sin's power over us and is currently transforming us into His image. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18, gives a very dark reality about our world and sin. It's a very important chapter, one of the most important chapters, I believe, in all Scripture, because it paints what we are before we come to Christ. It paints this world in a very true, vivid, dark picture. Look at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely or specifically, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. So what does our life look like? What is the first thing that Scripture mentions in this passage that we are doing wrong? Verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Where did this begin? In the garden. Paul is going all the way back to Adam and Eve. Though they knew God, though Adam and Eve knew God, He created them. They walked with Him in the garden. They had great fellowship. They bit into the temptation. They ate fully the temptation, and they sinned by not honoring Him and by not giving thanks to Him. It's important that we understand that an unthankful spirit, which encompasses all this world, an unthankful spirit is a fruit of sin's curse. So when I struggle with thankfulness, I struggle to show thankfulness to Sarah, to the boys, to you all. When I struggle to be a thankful person, it is a reality of sin's curse and the sinful nature that is in my life. And that is not an excuse, but it's a reminder that I don't have to respond that way because I'm new in Christ. And Christ's power has removed me from sin's power. And so when I give thanks to God, I am showing that the sinful curse of unthankful heart has been taken away. And I don't have to be unthankful because God is changing me into the image of Christ. Do you realize that Jesus Christ, there was never a time in his life where he was unthankful toward his heavenly Father? Even as he's going to the cross, and even as he's preparing the last Passover, the Lord's Supper meal, he says, I am thankful. I've looked forward to this moment for a long time. As he's praying before the cross, he says, I thank you, Lord, that you have given me this work to do. I've accomplished the work, John 17. I've accomplished the work that you've given me to do. And I thank you that you are good. We see thankfulness all through Christ's life. And yet, do we see sorrow in Christ's life? Oh, yes. Was there happiness on the cross? Oh, no. And yet there was a thankfulness that spoke through the pain and the sorrow, because there was a joy. Who, for the joy that was set before him, Christ endured the cross, he despised the shame, and he is lifted high and seated at the right hand of God on high. And he set an example for us to follow. We think of the Old Testament. We think of the Jewish people, and we think of how God routinely needs to rebuke them and even condemn the unbelieving Jews as they're going through the wilderness. Remember the wilderness journeying and wandering, and they're complaining, and we see God provides food for them in the wilderness, and still that's not enough. God makes sure their shoes never wear out. That's still not enough. God provides them protection from their enemies. That's still not enough. They're complaining. They're bitter. They're upset. They're frustrated. Why? Because they did not have a faith in him that was genuine, and God would condemn them for that. They did not want to trust and obey him when they couldn't see how it was all going to work out. Before we get too hard on those folks in the wilderness, right? Don't we often do the very same thing? It's a lot easier to be thankful to God when everything's just right. We understand what's going on. We think we do. But when life goes a different direction than we planned, we struggle with thankfulness. We need to remember that we don't have to yield to an unthankful spirit if you're a Christian, because God has removed you from the power of sin. We can be biblically thankful. Our boys have enjoyed C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. We've read that to them once, and of course they came out with the movie several years ago, and so, sometimes the book is better than the movie. It depends how you do it. But if you know that story at all, there is a land of Narnia, and these children from England are able to go into this country, and when they get there, they find that there's snow everywhere, and there has been a curse put on the land by the White Witch, who has cursed and made that it's winter. The book says it's winter, it's always winter, and never Christmas. And there's a curse, and the reality or the evidence of that curse is snow everywhere. You know, one of the evidences of the curse of sin in our world is an unthankful heart, an unthankful spirit. God is calling us to realize that he has removed sin's power from us. And as we live thankfully for his glory, we show that we are being changed into the image of Christ. Will we always do it perfectly? No. But when we repent, when we mess up, we run back to Christ and we say, no, Lord, forgive me, revive me, as we sang this morning, refine me, help me go forward in being thankful. And we realize that a biblically thankful spirit is a fruit of God's grace that he's promised to give. If you're thankful today to God for the right reasons, praise him. Don't feel like you're better than the person next to you because you're being thankful in the circumstance and they're not. Realize that if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would all be bitter, wretched, far from him. Thank God that he has removed sin's curse from you through Christ if you're a Christian. Be thankful for the glory of God. Really quickly, I want to look at these last two. A fourth truth that Christians affirm when we live thankfully for the glory of God is this, that God has truly saved us through the power of his gospel. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This morning, we have not attempted to do an in-depth at all breakdown of each passage, though I'd encourage you, if you would like, to take this these points home with you and investigate each passage, because there is much more than just being thankful on a skin surface, but there is a deep core of a relationship with God that calls us to be thankful. If you live thankfully for the glory of God, not just thankfully in your own strength, but you live thankfully for the glory of God, you are affirming that God has truly saved you for the power of his gospel. We're just going to read this chapter. Now you say, oh, Pastor, that's kind of crazy. We're just going to read it. I'm going to make a couple comments. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. This ministry is the ministry of the gospel to tell people about. Verse 2, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is hid or veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, this is the unsaved case, the god of this world, that Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We'll stop there for a minute. In our outline, I say in letter A, those who have been freed from sin's blindness must view their position in Christ with a thankful perspective. If you profess, I want to say this gently, but I want to say this clearly. If you profess to be a Christian, you say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. If you profess to be a Christian and there is no thankfulness in your heart to God, then you're not a Christian. If you profess to be saved from your sins and yet there is no evidence of any thankfulness in your life to God, then you are not a Christian. Because the natural response to being saved from the power of sin is thankfulness. It's just like a little child who opens up a gift on their birthday and it's better than they could have imagined. There's this smile. Why do we see Christians just going through life with sadness and despair and discouragement and bitterness? I would suggest to you that for some of those folks, not all, but for some of those folks, they've never really been saved. They thought that when I come to Christ, everything's going to be just fine. It's going to be a bed of roses. And they didn't read those passages that say, if you're going to follow me, you must be willing to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. There are Christians who struggle with unthankfulness because there are areas in their life that they just have not made God number one. That's reality. They're still saved. But I would just say to us this morning, if you profess to be a Christian, there is no thought of being thankful to God, then you're not saved. But if you have been saved, you realize what we just read. God spoke light into our hearts and our eyes through Jesus Christ. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but God saved us. If you are living thankfully for the glory of God, then you are affirming that God has saved you from your sins and you are thankful. We must naturally and spiritually view our position in Christ with a thankful perspective. But also, we've talked about suffering for several weeks. Paul's going to talk about suffering in verse 7 all the way down to verse 18. But we have this treasure, this salvation in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more people, it may increase, what's the next word? thanksgiving to the glory of God. Paul is saying here, all this affliction that he's facing, and Paul faced a lot of it. His apostles, along with him, his ministry team, they faced persecution. They faced sorrowful times. They faced unhappy moments and seasons. And yet there was a thankfulness that just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger in their hearts and lives. How does that happen? How could thankfulness be growing when the suffering seems to increase? Because the suffering reminds us that this world's not our home. It reminds us that God has a perfect plan. And just like Christ was called to suffer and after that be exalted, so God is calling us to suffer and one day be exalted with Him. And so Paul says in verse 16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed or revived day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Those who have been freed, I put here letter B, those who have been freed from sin's punishment must view their present suffering with a thankful perspective. If you give thanks to God and you are able to biblically give thanks to God in the middle of very difficult circumstances, including suffering, that is another affirmation that you've been saved through the power of the gospel of Christ. You are affirming that God has truly saved you, because no one can give thanks to God biblically with a relationship with Him apart from Jesus Christ. People can play the part, but eventually that's going to fall apart. Eventually they're going to hit that roadblock where their self-induced thankfulness falls apart. But a thankfulness that is based in the character of God can never, ever be taken away. So we think of culture. What is a culture? A culture, according to definition, is the attitudes and behavior characteristic of a particular social group. So if you have a group of people and they act a certain way, they behave a certain way, that pretty much shows you what their culture is like, for the most part. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can create a culture of thankfulness in a world that is sinfully unthankful. This is what God is creating. He's creating a culture of Godward thankfulness through His church. He is creating life in this world where there was once spiritual death. He is creating a family of God in this world and in eternity where before we were enemies of God. He is creating a light in this world where before there was satanic darkness. We see it on the mission field. We see it in Middletown, where light is springing up in places where Satan has had a stronghold. God is creating a culture of thankfulness in this world toward Him, where before there was a culture of unthankfulness and bitterness. He is in His way, in His timing, and His perfect sovereignty overthrowing the curse of sin in this world. Doesn't mean that much of this world is still going to turn their heart away from Him. But in the middle of this darkness, God is creating light. He's creating joy. He's creating thankfulness in His church. And a significant aspect or a fruit or a byproduct of Him removing sin's curse from people's lives is the restoration of a culture of true thankfulness. We've talked about we want to be a healthy church. I was looking back at sermon notes, and I saved my sermons in a certain file on my computer for different topics, and I was putting in the date for this one, November 18th, and something popped up, November 17th, for November 2017, and it hit me that we began our study on the glory of God last Thanksgiving, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And then I was looking at some of the notes that I had prepared, and one thing I said, I feel like our church is at a crossroads. Sometimes that sounds like a negative thing, but I said, I think it's a very good thing. I think we're at a crossroads for great spiritual growth to take place. And we talked about how the only way that we are going to grow is if we're spiritually healthy. One of the ways that we show that we are spiritually healthy Christians is by living thankfully for the glory of God. Because there's no other answer. then God is working in that person's life when a Christian responds to an unhappy situation with thankfulness. Many of us in our church family have been showing how God is still giving them thankfulness, and you're being thankful in the middle of difficult circumstances. Don't stop. Don't give up. Keep being thankful for the glory of God. Lastly, really quickly, a fifth truth that Christians affirm, and Paul was even hinting at that at the end of his passage, is that the best is yet to come. When you are thankful to God in all circumstances, when you're able to live thankfully for His glory, you're affirming the truth that the best is yet to come. And when it does, it will never, ever end. If you're in 2 Corinthians, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul here is closing out this first letter to the Corinthian church. He's talking in chapter 15 about the resurrection of Christ and why it's so important to our reality as Christians. He'll say in chapter 15, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then we are of all men most miserable. We're to be pitied. We have no hope if Christ is not risen. But because He's risen from the dead, oh, we have great hope. And he closes this chapter with a crescendo of great hope and future glory. Verse 51, he says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed. He's speaking here of the rapture of the church, the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. How could Jesus come back? Because he's alive. He didn't stay dead in the tomb. He's alive. You have spiritual life. Paul is writing to a church that has been absorbed with themselves. They become so absorbed with themselves and their desires and their wants that they have had division in the church. They've even had some gross sin taking place in the church, outwardly, publicly, and thinking it's okay. And Paul hammers them over and over with the gospel. This is not how you're called to live. But if you are a Christian, look what's waiting for you. This world can't offer you full satisfaction, but there is full satisfaction coming. The best is yet to come. He talks about the rapture, verse 53. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. This mortal body must put on immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and when the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. One day soon, everything wrong in creation will be made perfectly right by its Creator. Do you believe that? I pray that you do. Jesus is coming back. He's going to make all things new. If that's not a reason to be thankful, I don't know what is. Because we look in our world today and we see so much wrong. We see families torn apart. We see children hating one another. We see children killing one another at school. We see all these different things going on and we say, what's wrong? And then we realize, yeah, sin's wrong, but it's not always going to be that way. I can be thankful that this is not the best. The best is yet to come, and when it comes, it will never end. God's promise of future eternal hope compels us to thankfully persevere. So are you persevering today in thankfulness? Maybe you say, Pastor Sam, I've really been struggling. Joe, if you wouldn't mind, I didn't tell you this ahead of time, but if you wouldn't mind advancing the next slide. There's a quote, and I don't know if you've seen it. I don't know if you can, I hope you can read it carefully up here, but it says, there's always, always, always something to be thankful for. Have you heard that? I don't know who said that. There's always, always, always something to be thankful for. When you think about that, it's true. But for the Christian, I would say, for Christians, there's always, always, always someone for whose glory we live thankfully. We're called to live for the glory of God. One of the greatest ways we do that is by thanking Him and living a life of thankfulness for Him. So my prayer for us this morning is that every Christian here this morning, myself starting with me, myself included, that we would believe each of these five truths that we have covered this morning. And if we will do that, we will be on a good trajectory as a church to be a spiritually healthy and thankful church for God's glory? Do you believe, as we look over these 5 points, do you believe that God is always worthy of praise for his work in your life? If you do, let's be thankful. Do you believe that we are not in control and we are not God? I pray that we do. Let's live thankfully for his glory. Do you believe that God has removed sin's power over us? We don't have to sin. And he's currently transforming us into the image of Christ. Do you believe that? I pray that you do. Let's live thankfully for his glory. Has God truly saved us through the power of his gospel? Yes. Is the best yet to come and will never end? Yes. So let us live thankfully for God's glory, not just on Thanksgiving week, but all the time. Lastly, let's look at this application. 3 things real quick. 1, how do we apply this truth? 1, if you're struggling with being thankful, just like I struggle to be thankful. If you're struggling with being thankful, run to the cross of Jesus Christ and never leave. Why do you think Paul says, I'm going to boast in one thing? I'm going to glory in one thing, and that's the cross of Jesus Christ. Because when Paul was faced with unthankfulness, when Paul was faced with ingratitude, when Paul was tempted to be dissatisfied with God's best for him, he said, I'm going to run to the cross. I'm going to glory and boast in the cross, because when I run to the cross, I remember that God loves me, that he loved me so much that he sent his son to die for me, and that he removed the power of sin from my life because I believed in him. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He loved me enough to kill his own son. I can be thankful to him no matter what I face. When you struggle with being thankful, run to the cross of Christ. Where do you run when unthankfulness wants to swallow you up? I would suggest if you run anywhere other than to Jesus Christ, you will still be unthankful. No, run to Christ. Remember the cross and never leave. Secondly, when you struggle with being thankful, admit an unthankful and a self-absorbed culture. Run to the truth of Christ's gospel and never value anything higher than him. We are about to enter full steam ahead into one of America's most unthankful seasons of the year. And that's Christmas. Don't value anything higher than Jesus this Christmas. And if you'll do that, you'll be thankful. No matter how many presents are under the tree, no matter how this Christmas may go exactly how you would like it to go, if you value Jesus Christ above everything, you can be thankful. And lastly, as you live thankfully for the glory of God, run hard after Jesus Christ with God's church. Never go it alone. Don't isolate yourself from your brothers and sisters in Christ who are running hard after Jesus Christ. You run together with them. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He wasn't saying, follow me because I have all the answers. He's saying, run with me. Come with me. Let's join together as God's church. Let us all together be a thankful church because we have a Redeemer who has saved us. We have a Holy Spirit that has been imparted to us. In a moment, we're going to sing a closing hymn, There is a Redeemer. And the chorus says, thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done. Is he your Father this morning? If he is, be thankful to him. If he's not your Father, I'd encourage you to run to Christ and receive his forgiveness for your sin. Is he your Father, and are you living thankfully for his glory? We are surrounded by an unthankful culture. May we, through Christ, break through that culture with a spirit of thankfulness that comes from God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace to us. I thank you for your great love. Lord, we thank you for the truth that you are our Redeemer. We don't deserve your redemption. We don't deserve your love. And yet you sacrificed all so that we could be thankful to you. Father, I pray that you will help us to give you the glory. Thank you, Lord, for these reminders from your word this morning. I pray, Father, that this week we will have opportunities to share of our gratefulness, to share why we're thankful to you with our family and friends. Father, I pray that whatever spirit of bitterness is in our hearts this morning, that, Father, you would take that away. If we need to forgive others, Father, help us to forgive as you've forgiven us. If we need to show mercy, help us to show mercy. If we need to ask for forgiveness, may we ask for forgiveness. But may nothing we do encourage us to be unthankful to you. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ.